Richard Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Me, me, mama, move. Me, me, mama, move.
What are we listening to?
You're listening. Duh. Duh. You're listening to a blessing. It's in disguise, but nevertheless, that actually was a blessing. This is Wretched Radio. Well, I went to the YouTube machine because I didn't want to have to sing me, 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 me. The way that people used to vocalize for their warm-up. I couldn't find the me, 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 me. Instead, I found me, me, ma, ma, moo, moo. And while it is agitating, I grant you that it's better than me singing.
Me, me, ma, ma, moo. Me, me, ma, ma, moo. Me, me, ma, ma, moo.
On second thought.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer you.
Me, 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 me. We are living in the era of... We are individuals who love ourselves. And so when a philosophy, a worldview, and even religion tells you, yes, you are the center of the universe, it resonates. John Mark Comer, if you're not familiar with the name, is wildly popular these days. He's a pastor of he quit his megachurch so that he could have a ministry. He writes books. And it's an interesting blend because even though he's a little bit Rob Bellish, he does seem to have better theology than Rob. Nevertheless, the reason for his popularity is because his teaching resonates with the me, me, me generation. I was so pleased to see this. I haven't seen Gary Gilly's name in a long time. He wrote an article titled John Mark Comer and the Comerism of Christianity. And he cites all kinds of sources revealing that John Mark Comer is mega popular, specifically with Gen Zers. Anytime somebody in evangelicalism is a juggernaut, we do well to do an examination. What are they teaching? And while it needs to be stated, some of his stuff, when it comes to, for instance, salvation, that, hey, this isn't a game. This isn't something you get to dabble in. This isn't just a temporary emotive experience. This is about totally surrendering your life. While that is good, unfortunately, there is much about it that would disqualify him as one that we should be commending, especially to our young people. Courtesy of Gary Gilly, quote, a significant portion of evangelicals at the present time moving into a new pietism. A movement so identified with John Mark Comer that it is being called Comerism. You say, what exactly is pietism? It was a movement that came out of the Protestant Reformation. There were two different types of pietists, incidentally. Now, one of the groups of pietists were liberal. They just, whatever, believe it or not. The other group of pietists were very concerned that Christianity was earnest. That this wasn't just easy believism, because that was one of the bad fruits that came out of the Protestant movement, specifically Lutheranism, where it seemed that, hey, all you need to do is say that you believe and you're good to go, and it doesn't matter what sort of fruit you bear. Now, obviously, that wasn't all Lutherans, but it was a big enough movement that the pietists recognized it and identified it as something that was sub-Christian. So what did they do? They came up with a movement that really got you busy, that got you doing stuff, that had you behaving in a way that indicated, yes, I am walking in the light. Now, that sensibility isn't wrong. It's true, isn't it? We should be different today than we were when God saved us. We should not be as dark as we once were. I was just talking to a guy this morning. Crazy. We're talking about what he was like before he got saved. I think the quote was, what did you say about yourself?
I was a horrible person, terrible person. I was ugly.
But God saved you.
But God saved me.
And you wouldn't know that today because that's what he does. Yeah. He transforms us. We're studying that, by the way. Not that you asked about our Bible study on Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church, but the section of walking in the light, that we were formerly darkness. Now we put off these deeds. We don't even talk about them, meaning we don't sit around and actually engage in them by discussing them. Instead, we expose them and we mortify them. That's the Christian life. Not perfection, but moving in that new sanctified, light-filled direction. Please remember, mortification is not instantaneous, nor is mortification of sin something that once done doesn't need to be dealt with. It is a perpetual, lifelong battle. I can't recall who I was reading on the subject. Oh, I think it was John Owen. That would make sense because he wrote a book called The Mortification of Sin. So probably got it from him. And this might be helpful for you if you're a Christian who struggles with a particular sin, typically known as your besetting sin. It's the one that just doesn't seem to go away. The observation of John Owen was this. Now, this is a possibility. I'm not saying this is a definitive sort of diagnosis of your sin struggle and the losses that you're experiencing, but it's a possibility. He said, if you just fight against that one sin, you're not likely to have victory. You need to be battling all sin. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's the mindset that is set against sin. It's not just that sin, which is causing you problems. You're worried about it being exposed. It's causing relational difficulties. It's maybe put you into financial hot water. You're focused on that sin, but you're not trying to mortify sin. Not just that sin, sin. The all of it. I hate everything about all sin, not just the one that's driving you bonkers, but just sin in and of itself. Oh, I wish I had brought this in. Oh, I think Gio has it down the hall. There, I created a list of the ways that the Bible describes sin. I preached about it Sunday morning as we studied Pontius Pilate, Procla, the people, and the priests. That's right. I alliterated, baby. Couldn't help it. It's Matthew 27. It's the story of Pontius Pilate with Jesus on trial who doesn't utter a word. His wife, we think her name is Procla, sends a message. We see the priests accusing Jesus and the people crying, crucify him, crucify him. So I was kind of Southern Baptist-y on Sunday morning. But it gets worse than that, Jimmy. I didn't just alliterate my P's, I alliterated my D's.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about how sin, ready for this? Deceives, darkens, dulls, and deforms.
Look
four
at you.
Of them. Four
I am
of them.
Proud of you.
See, I was Southern Baptist plus. Not three P's, not three D's. No, four of them. And sin is something that once we study it, it should be something that's like, not even the little respectable sins. What you've got them. We've all got them. They just don't seem like that big of a deal. No. They're a big deal. They will deceive, darken, dull, and deform you. It's just no sin is to be trifled with, and we need to have a face set against sin. That's what it will perhaps bring you more victory over that particular sin if you adopt a mindset of all sin is my enemy, and I hate the whole shebang. Maybe that will be helpful for you. John Mark Comer is a popular individual who says some of that type of stuff. It's not Rob Bell squishy, just there's virtually no Christianity. No, some of that stuff that he says, but his version of pietism is one that is mystical. The old pietists, they made it it's a whiplash, isn't it? It's just always a perpetual, the pendulum swings this way and that way. If there were Lutherans that were easy believers, one group of pietists, they were the legalists. And you got to watch out for that. John Mark Comer is a bit of a 21st century pietist. This is what Gary Gilley wrote. He's emerging as a key leader within evangelicalism, a leader of a revised version of pietism, which has links to past forms, but also expands and enlarges pietism in new directions. What is the new direction? Mysticism. Oh, that's interesting. And it plays right into the hands of the me generation. This is the era of the expressive individual, that you let your insides show on the outsides. You fly your flag and don't let nobody tell you. You got to take it down, because what is inside of you is preeminent on the planet. What a mess of a worldview. I mean, what a mess. We're all doing our own things. That couldn't cause any problem. And you can't criticize me because I'm letting my inside be on the outsides. That is the mindset of the world today, the me generation. And John Mark Comer is playing right into that. We'll explain how next, Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this: you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute Fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here, you can be a part of it, absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up, because the limited spaces will fill up fast. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me, you'll be glad that you went.
Important dates in Christian history. 1735. The Great Awakening under Jonathan Edwards
stirs the American colonies with many conversions and individual returns to heartfelt faith. Because of this awakening, a number of divinity schools were founded, including Princeton, Dartmouth, and Rutgers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Identifying the problem is one thing. Applying the correct solution, that's another. This is Wretched Radio. He's all the rage. He's John Mark Comer, very popular author, speaker. This man is on fire with Gen Zers. Why? Because he's tapping into the zeitgeist. He's got his finger on the pulse of what drives young people these days, and what drives them, frankly, it drives all of us, but especially them, is self. Me. Making myself happy. Furthermore, the worldview of expressive individualism is all about not being judgmental, and that if I invent something that works for me, then it is therefore good. Let me share with you a rather in-depth article from Gary Gilley. I can't wait to read his other stuff on this because it seems like he has much to say about John Mark Comer because he's so popular. He's tapped into the unrest, emptiness, confusion, and exhaustion that everybody seems to be feeling these days. So he understands people. It's like, this just isn't, it's not feeling right. Now he's attracting, I think, a wide swath of individuals. It's not just the expressive individualist, which everybody is, but it's also those who are weary from fake, phony Christianity. I read a rather disturbing article. I can't recall the source of it. Nevertheless, it was about Nigeria and how young people are leaving the church, but not just any church, the prosperity churches. Why? Because they're seeing that it doesn't work. It's phony. It's shallow. It's greedy. And they're leaving Christianity. And that's happening in the West also. But there is a big group of young people that are now asking the question, okay, what is something that's genuine, big, and authentic? I want to be a part of something that's not trite and trivial. And John Mark Comer is finding those people. He's finding those people who are just beat up. Because we with this rat race that we live in, and he's tapping into that, and we would do well to learn that lesson from John Mark Comer. No, we are not going to turn the gospel into a felt need presentation, but we need to understand what people are dealing with. And if we're not mindful of that, we're going to do church the way that we want, not the way that God wants, and not the way that people need. We're going to preach sermons that don't address this. We got to learn that this world has certain moods to it, and that includes Christians. And a pastor must be aware of those moods so that he can address, denounce them if necessary, condemn them if biblical, but at least to speak on these things. John Mark Comer is, but how is he doing it? Well, it's a new pietism. Furthermore, it's a new emergent movement. It's a new mystical movement. 40 years ago, Richard Foster, Dallas Willard, remember those names? They said evangelicalism had lost its way, just like the pietists, just like John Mark Comer. So they created something that was called the Spiritual Formation Movement. It was to introduce Protestants to ancient mystical practices from spiritual masters that came out of Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and that were to lead their followers into a deeper spiritual living, which is what people, they want that. John Mark Comer is tapping into that. The problem is, he's just reheating the stew that has been cooked up. It just comes and it goes. We've seen this before, said Tim Challies. We've done this mystical business before. Trevin Wax, he also identifies this as being nothing but a rehashed Christian mysticism. offering a popularized and renewed vision of Dallas Willard's book combined with evangelical mysticism, an ancient future vision, and the emergent church of Rob Bell and Brian McLaren. Oh, boy. While those guys, they've lost a lot of their influence. Rob Bell is totally off the reservation. Not that, frankly, he was ever on it. Brian McLaren, ditto. They were mystics. And they were leading people into a deeper life. And it's simply being rehashed by John Mark Comer. By the way, Gilly points out, John Mark Comer's opening quote in his most popular book called Practicing the Way. That just should have flares flying all over it. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. That was actually in a Rob Bell Numa film series titled Dust. Rob Bell also talked about being covered in the dust of your rabbi in Velvet Elvis. What does he get right? Ask Gary Gilly. And this is something that we should be mindful of. He wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, Getting Off the Merry-Go-Round. What is he doing? He's tapping into something. He's using ancient teachings of mystics. And some of it actually hits the mark, but it's not hitting, it's not accurate in that it's not thoroughly biblical. He's right in step with the mindset of his target audience, Gen Z. When a winsome leader such as Comer suggests that each of us can develop a, here it comes, me, a rule of life. A rule that does not need to be grounded in any objective standard, including scripture, but one that simply works and makes us happy, they latch on thinking that they found their North Star. And when that person suggests numerous ways to improve their lives, some of them make some sense, they believe that they've discovered the perfect life coach. The problem is you get to invent what works for you. What is that? Expressive individualism, me. Furthermore, his language and his teaching drenched in psychological and therapeutic language. He's a cheerleader for psychology, particularly Carl Jung. He himself has been in therapy for years, recommends it to everybody. And finally, writes Gilly, Comer is in lockstep with culture's fascination with subjectivism and mysticism, stating that Christians in the future, the Christianity in the future, will be mystical or it will be nothing at all. So what is mysticism? It's a feelings-driven movement. It is a sensory experience. And you can create whatever you need as long as your senses are happy or feelings are fine, and however you cultivated that is also fine. Younger Christians feel something is missing in their faith, and Comer fills the gaps in bite-sized, aesthetically pleasing, and quickly digestible ways. Now, some of his teaching, we need to be mindful of this, is decent. The problem is it's like leaven, which permeates even good teaching. You don't just have bad teaching over here. It infects everything. Theologically, Comer rightly teaches that we can only know God as he's revealed himself in scripture through Jesus. Good. He does a decent job explaining Old Testament words like loving kindness and faithfulness. And he believes in the wrath of God. That's not Rob Bell-like. He rightly states, we do not pay for our sins. Only Christ can do that. But he's also uncomfortable with penal substitutionary atonement. What does he prefer? Christus Victor theory, which is kind of weird if you believe in the wrath of God, but you reject penal substitutionary atonement. Comer's overarching remedy to virtually all the difficulties we face is to develop a rule of life, not biblical teachings. Anything that works for us. So spiritual discipline, psychological theories, pragmatic practices, as long as it helps you to cope. John Mark Comer says, do it. Wide range of sources that he uses. And so it, his writing, and we've reviewed him before, very eclectic. It's cobbled together from experience, from his different studies of philosophy, psychology. Comer's The Way, writes Gilly, becomes not the way of Scripture, such as Paul's call to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Instead, his rule is to practice the way devised from our own imagination and the extra-biblical musings of other sources. Comer's way is not the way of Jesus, writes Gilly, but the way which seems to be working for each individual. His authority is not Christ or Scripture, but self. And guess what? It's working. Why? Because it taps into the zeitgeist that we are all living in these days. Pastor, have you identified this proclivity in our 21st century society to point out that Christianity is the opposite of being self-focused? It's being other and servant-focused. If not, you might want to think about it, because if you don't, well, John Mark Comer is going to teach your congregation, and you don't want that. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institutes. A Guatemalan man who allegedly sent 12 middle schoolers to the hospital with THC-laced gummies is walking free without bail in New York. Wilmer Garcia was selling these treats on Instagram. Treats was air quoted. You couldn't see that on the radio, but it was. And apparently that's where Suffolk County kids go shopping for candy these days. 12 children hospitalized. And this guy gets released on his own recognizance. Garcia was also indicted for selling cocaine and marijuana to undercover cops. But hey, his defense attorney says he had a tough upbringing. Yeah, you know who else had a tough time? The kids he poisoned. Joy Reid, recently fired from MSNBC, has found a new hobby, calling Trump the physical embodiment of all of America's sins. She went on this bizarre rant about his hair, his business failures, even made creepy comments about his marriage. And of course, we all know Reid spent years making everything about race, working for a network that just showed her the door, but apparently self-reflection is not her strong suit. Parents in Virginia discovered that Christianburg High School's renovations include a lovely new gender-neutral bathroom where teenage boys and girls are going to be sharing sink space. The architect actually claimed that this would reduce bullying. Tennessee Democrat Justin Pearson has announced that there is nothing off the table in fighting Republicans that he calls fascists and neo-Confederates, the same guy who helped to occupy the state legislature and then cried racism when he faced consequences. Missouri Supreme Court rejected Attorney General Andrew Bailey's attempt to restore basic abortion safety regulations, leaving women vulnerable to the kind of, here's the air quotes again, healthcare that used to require actual medical standards. Last November, voters approved an amendment they were told was about reproductive freedom, but the fine print swept away regulations ensuring equipment cleanliness and emergency protocols. Governor Glenn Youngkin in Virginia has ordered a criminal investigation into two Fairfax County school employees who allegedly arranged secret abortions for teenage girls without telling their parents. That is despicable. A social worker reportedly scheduled appointments and used taxpayer money to pay for the procedures with full backing from a principal. Yeah, it seems like all of these stories share a common thread today. And that's what happens when institutions abandon their core purpose. Schools are going to hide medical procedures from parents, politicians, treat opponents as enemies, and courts prioritize ideology over safety. The solution, hey, it's not complicated. It requires something our culture seems to have forgotten, and that's basic honesty about right and wrong. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just put a great big L on my forehead. Loser, this is Wretched Radio. How could I possibly be talking about John Mark Comer and his mystical, spiritual, me-centered sort of version of Christianity? Because people are so looking for it. It's like, how does this stuff work? I don't want dualism anymore. I do believe that that Gen Z is experiencing this. This is a fast-moving generation because they're just inundated constantly with outside voices, with social media, TikTok videos that inform them, this is how you should be feeling. No, today, this is how you should be thinking. This is what you should be doing these days. And so Gen Zers, who initially just rejected all forms of religion, now they're seeking religion because they want something deeper. They want something big. They don't want something that's trite and silly. Furthermore, they don't want it over there. They don't want religion that they visit perhaps on Sunday when they feel like getting out of bed. They don't want a religion that is something that only gets called upon in times of crisis. They want it all the time. They don't want dualism. With dualism, we've been battling dualism now forever since the New Testament. Plato, the religion is one realm, reality is another, and ne'er the twain shall meet. Second floor, first floor. On the first floor, you've got science, you've got logic, you've got reason. Second floor, you got religion. Keep it up there. But it doesn't belong down on the first floor. And that mindset is one that is prevalent among people because it's our proclivity. And it is something that the Bible seeks to help us with, to live a holistic life. Now, the problem is there have been so many different inventions trying to help you bridge that dualism, to bring the second floor down to the first floor. And they're all just that, programs, systems. Whether it's Watchman Nee, whether it's the Desert Fathers, whether it's the Emergent Movement, whether it's John Mark Comer, they're all seeking to bridge the gap, to bring it together. But when it is a system that goes beyond church disciplines that the Bible prescribes, well, then you got yourself a system. And you got something that is going to definitely be trendy. How come evangelical trends don't endure? It's because they're trends and they don't work. Anybody praying the prayer of Jabez these days? Anybody doing the Jabez, getting your territory expanded because of Jabez? And doubt it. Not many. Maybe on occasion it kind of rings a bell for somebody and they utter that prayer. But otherwise it's gone. Why? Because it didn't work. You know how many millions of people were praying that God would expand their territory? And for many of them, it didn't. And perhaps for most of them, it shrank. It doesn't work because it's trendy. And so too is this latest version of mysticism, of cobbling together a worldview from psychology, a cobbling together a worldview that is just the philosophy of the day, which is it's about you and making yourself happy. That's just not the way the Bible tells us to go about it. So be mindful. Sorry about that. That's another system. Be mindful of systems and programs. I'm currently writing a book, and I got to tell you, it's addressing this issue. And it's not easy because not everything that these mystics say is wrong. Not everything the pietists taught was wrong. The Christian life is supposed to be 24/7. The question, of course, is how does that work? And that's why I'm a big loser. John Crotts, he's going to be doing an in-studio event here at Fortis Institute, The Spirit-Filled Life, B-I-N-G-O, there it is. You need the Holy Spirit actively working in your life and you doing the things that cooperate with his work. And increasingly, your Christian life, it'll just be who you are. Not something that you visit. It just becomes increasingly who you are. But without the Holy Spirit, forget about it. I was mentioning John Owen's book about the mortification of sin, and he was adamant about this. If you do not work with the Holy Spirit, remember, it is a synergistic process, this sanctification that we are set on, that we got to do stuff, but it's got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gets credit for everything that we do. Nevertheless, we got to do it. And without that Holy Spirit working in us, there's going to be no power. There won't be mortification. There won't be transformation. And your Christian life will always be compartmentalized. If you would like to be in, is that what this is?
Yeah.
Okay, register. If you want to join us, we're in Alpharetta, Georgia. John Kratz is going to be doing this seminar. It's only a one-day deal. Saturday, August 30th. It's free. Space is definitely limited, but you need to register so we know how many folks are going to show up. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. And it looks like we rightly capitalized the H and the S. Why are we going through a trend where we no longer capitalize pronouns when they refer to God?
I don't know.
Who started this? It needs to stop. Can we not indicate that God is unlike any other pronoun? That he should be capitalized? At any rate, FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Do you know how the Holy Spirit works in your life? Or does it feel mysterious? That's what John Kratz is going to address. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament, what it means to be led by the Spirit. That bridges your dualism right there. How are you led by the Spirit? How does the Spirit direct your path? Is it mystical? No. Is it some sort of sensory that he gives you a nudge or a prompting or a liver shiver? No. John Kratz will address that. Killing sin by the Spirit of adoption, knowing your identity in Christ, and then ultimately the gifts of the Spirit. I got to tell you, knowing your identity in Christ, I think it's really crucial. Our next book at Alpharetta Bible Church, Methinks, is going to be 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is, if you're not aware of the foundation of the Christian faith and what should energize every single thought, word, deed, and activity of the Christian, it's a mysterious book in dealing with the subject of persecution, because it doesn't really deal with the subject of persecution. It gives no practical tips. It only talks about your salvation in Christ. And that sets the table then for enduring persecution.
Hold on, let me grab it right here.
1 Peter, why does he take really two chapters, at least 1.5 chapters, where he spends time talking about how great your salvation is? It's because you need to know that to endure that. That's the basis of the holistic Christian life. Who are you? Or better yet, whose are you? To whom do you belong? What is he like? What's he doing? What's his assignment for you? Getting that straight makes the Christian life natural and easy, and it doesn't require systems and experiences and trends. All right, here's 1 Peter. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, and he lists all the places. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that was Trinitarian. Grace to you and peace. And then he launches into your heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. That's yours, Christian. That's yours. This is who you are. This is what you've been given. This is what you will be. It will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you suffer various trials. but it's going to do something. It's going to prove the genuineness of your faith, tested by fire, so that it may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You believe in him, even though you don't see him. You rejoice with joy, full of glory, receiving the end of faith, the salvation of your souls. And on he goes. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired. And then he talks more about your salvation. Why? I think that's maybe the missing component for many Christians who still live dualistic lives. There's no second floor. There's no first floor. There is you in Christ. That's your position. That's who you are. Now, you simply live that out. How? Next on Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What does a 24/7 Christian day look like? I'm not going to tell you. Why? Because I can't. This is Wretched Radio. This is the very reason why so many systems are invented for Christians to help us be holistic Christians, that our entire life is colored by Christianity. I think the reason that all of these systems are invented is because we fail to recognize what it looks like to live a 24/7 Christian life. We think that if it looks like this prescription, that if you do these things, here's your checklist, then you're living the Christian life. I don't think that's what it means to live the Christian life. I think it is more organic because you're a new creation. You are in Christ. You're brand new. Yeah, you still got that corrupted flesh that wars against your new nature. You don't have two natures. You just have one new nature. You got that flesh that you war against. That new nature of yours is who you are. You don't gin it up. It doesn't come to life when you're at Bible study. It's who you are. This is your identity in Christ. Now, here's where I think that there's a crack for so many people that allows these systems to be invented. That being a Christian 24/7 doesn't mean that you're perpetually thinking Christian thoughts. Before I even take a breath, let me explain that, because you're going to go, oh, so you're just going to let us be like that other group of pietists, que sera, sera. Not saying that at all. There's no better thought you can have than to think about Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you want to? There's no better consultant for your decision-making process than Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you have regular meetings with him? I am not suggesting that this gives us permission to be like, what? I haven't prayed in weeks. Doesn't matter. I know my identity. I'm good to go. No. We desire those things because he is the one that is most desirable. Having said that, you can't be perpetually mindful about God. You just can't. Now, that doesn't mean that you aren't being transformed by him and that your mind isn't being renewed by him and that increasingly your mind is set on him as you live that out. But it's that living out part that sometimes causes problems for people. You go to work for 8 hours and you're thinking about a lot of stuff that doesn't really have a Bible verse attached to it. And you might be deceived into thinking, oh, I'm not being a Christian. I'm only a Christian when I do Christian things. Wrong. You are a 24/7 Christian. That's who you are. And you're on assignment and you need to go about the business of faithfully walking that out in your context with your personality based on your schedule, which, by the way, can ebb and flow. And as you increasingly go about the business of gazing at your Savior, staring at him with unveiled face, increasingly you're going to become like him. You're not going to get to some place where you reach this state of Hindu bliss. No, you're going to continue to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, and increasingly he will be on your mind. Increasingly. But when he's not, because you're never going to be like 24/7, I'm just sitting in a corner and I am just thinking about the book of Philippians right now. That's not the Christian life. And when people fail to remember that, they try to create systems to create that. Your identity is in Christ. Now, the Bible, it does give you instructions with how to go about the business of increasingly being conformed into his image. It gives you things to do. That is certain. But where I think a lot of people then fall down is when they're not doing those things, which we would call the means of growth. They think, I'm not being a Christian. Yes, you are. Now, you might be acting like a bad Christian, but you're a Christian 24/7. It is who you are. You've been purchased. You're bought. You're owned. That's not a word that we like to use these days. Do they still use that? Is that like part of the vernacular these days? You got owned, man. That's actually a good thing. I think Emile Zwane, I think he's the one who identified that. To say, you know, you've been owned is bad. Not if you're a Christian. Not if your owner is Jesus. There's just no better master than he. That's who you are. You do live the 24/7. When you're sleeping, you're living the Christian life. You're a servant who's getting some rest, who's getting his battery recharged. you're making a meal and you're reading the recipe because you don't know how to put all of the ingredients together. And you're not thinking about the book of Philippians at the moment. You're a Christian who's on assignment. You're making food for people. You're shoveling the driveway. Oh, the flashback that I just had. You're shoveling the driveway. Probably not thrilled about it, but there you are shoveling the driveway. Are you being a 24/7 Christian? Yes. Yes, you are. Even if you're not thinking about Jesus. Now, would it be a wise thing to use your time while you're kind of mindlessly shoveling the driveway to think about Jesus? Yeah. And increasingly, you're going to want to do that. Increasingly. But even when you're not, because life and its demands, they don't allow you to always be thinking sanctified thoughts about the Savior, you're still a 24/7 Christian. And increasingly, as you rest in that, you're going to want to do those things that increase your Christ-likeness. You're going to want to do them. You're just going to want to. And you're not going to need a system to chain you down to your desk to read your Bible, because you got to. You have to read your Bible. Because it's like, do I debate whether I'm going to breathe air today? That's just what I do, and I want to do that. That will happen for you increasingly, not by neglecting your walk. Not saying that. Don't neglect your walk. To neglect your walk is foolishness. Instead, cultivate your walk, and as you go about the business of doing that, don't feel like your faith is on the second floor because you're mowing the lawn. You are a Christian. And the systems that people like John Mark Comer, the McLarens, the Bells, the Desert Fathers, the Watchman Nees, they all try to persuade you that it's feelings driven, that it's mystical, that you should be walking around with an aura that just emanates from you because, ooh, you're so spiritual. Now, it's tricky to deliver a diatribe like this because it could be easily misconstrued. Oh, so you just want us to be like liberal Protestants or something? No, not saying that at all. By the way, did you see the ELCA? They have now changed the Nicene Creed. Aren't they smart? If you're not familiar with church history, you maybe don't know that one of the reasons, there were others, and this one, it always just seemed like was a theological mechanism that was used for the separation between the Eastern and Western churches. It's the filioque phrase, the word filioque, son and son. It's Latin. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, filioque, and the Son. Eastern Orthodox Christians do not use "and the Son." They just say that the Holy Spirit emanates from the Father. That was the theological tool that was used to divide the East and West. There were other things going on, but that was a big deal. The ELCA has decided they're going to, this is hysterical. So you've got, for 1,500 years, people reciting, "He proceeds from the Father and the Son." The ELCA, in an effort to bring about unity with the Eastern Orthodox Church, has decided we'll no longer filioque. And what have they done? First of all, I doubt that that's brought them unity with the Eastern Orthodox Church. They're way more serious than the ELCA, but they have separated themselves from the rest of Christian Orthodoxy. So they're just changing theology because, well, they're worldly, frankly. So I don't want you to be a liberal Protestant. Don't want you to be liberal at all. But I don't want you to be underneath a legalistic system, which oftentimes these trends become just that. That you're a bad Christian if you're not. Look, if you're neglecting your spiritual walk, you're not being a bad Christian, you're sinning. And you should know that Jesus still loves you, even when you fail. Even when you neglect him, he never neglects you. And that should cause you to repent and then desire him more and more and more. And you will live that out where you are with the number of children you have or don't have, married, single, boy, girl, it does not matter, student, or you're retired. The 24/7 Christian life is not programmatic. It is unique. God does not crank out homogenous Christians where we're just assembly line and we all look the same. Nope, he's more creative than that. And the Christian life cannot be defined by a particular formula. The formula is Christ. Now live it out because you are a Christ one. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.